that a train impression?
There's a train impression.
Oh, I got it.
We are back. Welcome to episode 3 of Have Husband Will Travel and Talk. And this is the audio portion of the havehusbandwilltravel.com website. I'm Anthony Lobagellis.
I'm David Lobagellis.
And the train thing, you'll remember if you listened to the end of the last episode, we mentioned that the next episode would be about railway journeys. Havehusbandwilltravel.com is just me and David talking about our travel experiences, playing a few games, drinking a few drinks, and just talking about one of our favourite things to do, travel. There's quite a lot to get through today, and so without further ado, we'll move into the cocktail portion of our show. So we're doing a different thing this week. We're doing the cocktail hour, which will tie into our main theme of railway holidays. But we're not actually drinking the cocktail, but we did drink it last night, and it was really good.
Do you just want to back up as to why we're not drinking this weekend?
Yeah, so we're having a week off alcohol. Today's at day 7.
Not that we're counting them.
And we're doing fine. I think I'm dealing with it slightly better than David is.
I think it's possibly because it's almost like ritualized. It's that kind of like at a weekend, we get to 5 o'clock and we have a martini and that sort of thing. But yeah.
But what we've been doing, and I'm going to go through two recipes here. I'm going to go through one for all of you people who are drinking alcohol, and I'm going to repeat it and give it you again, and in a way you can do a non-alcoholic variation. We won't be doing this every week. It will normally be an alcohol.
Oh, normal service will be resuming next week.
Yeah. But
we've got a freezer full of gin.
Yeah. So the recipe we're doing today is a take on one of our favourite cocktails, which is a sidecar. But you can make a variation called a boxcar. And obviously boxcar is a part of a train, a carriage and a train. So you can make a variation called a boxcar, which is pretty much the same ingredients as a sidecar, but you just switch out the cognac for gin. And there's a really great recipe, which I'm getting from Difford's Guide. And that is, you just get 45 millilitres of dry gin, 15 millilitres of a triple sec liqueur, so Cointreau, Grand Marnier, that kind of thing, 15 millilitres of lime juice, 5 millilitres of grenadine, and he suggests to also add some 2.5 millilitres of sugar syrup, but to be honest,
no, we don't really like sweet drinks.
And the grenadine is sweet as it is, so yeah. Like I don't do that. And then you need an egg white to give it that bit of a foam. You shake all of the ingredients with ice, and then strain back into the shaker, and then dry shake without ice to get the good foam from the egg white, and then strain into a chilled coupe glass. I don't do it because I don't like it to be terribly sweet, but you are supposed to serve this with a sugar rim, a bit like how you serve a margarita with a salted rim. And that is the alcoholic version of a boxcar. But we made a really, really nice version of it, which was non-alcoholic. And we did it with a non-alcoholic gin. And do you want to talk about the gin that we got?
Yeah, it was one I picked up on the knowing that we weren't going to be drinking this weekend, or indeed the whole week. I decided to see what the options available to people who don't drink or, you know, want some, you know, want a bit of a change. One of the best ones I found was what's called a 0% alcohol botanical. They don't call it gin. I don't think they're allowed to call it gin, but I found it in Marks and Spencer's. And if you go looking for it, there's a non-alcoholic section in Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah.
And it's a white label with a green figure on it with like plants sprouting out of the person's head. And it's subtitled for fresh thinkers and smart drinkers. So it is a spirit.
Yeah.
It's distilled in the same way, I understand. But obviously the alcohol is taken out.
Yeah. And we had a rosé, non-alcoholic rosé wine, which was a little on the sweet side, but it tasted good. And that went through the same thing. It was actually wine, but it went through a process of removing the alcohol from the wine. I've done some research this weekend, and we've purchased a few other things that we're waiting for that are non-alcoholic, because we're trying to get through to next weekend.
We will get through to next weekend. We're that stubborn.
Yeah, but the there's some, if you just Google like non-alcoholic spirits, there's some really great choices, and apparently some of them are actually fantastic. And we've had a non-alcoholic one New Year's Eve. We went to Paul and Lynn's for New Year's Eve.
Oh yeah,
and we took some non-alcoholic gin with us then, but that just tasted like sort of herby water. But
yeah,
this didn't.
That's the I'm trying to remember what the name of the company is, but it's quite a famous company actually for that sort of thing, and that was nowhere near as good. And that's actually about twice the price. That's nowhere near as good as the one I got from M&S.
Yeah, and we've used that with, we've had that this week with in a sort of a gin version of a Cosmo, a gin, obviously the gin version of the Boxcar, which I'm about to run through, the non-alcoholic version of the Boxcar, which I'm about to run through. And we've also had it in G&Ts, and it went really well with like nice sort of Mediterranean Fever Tree tonic water. So if you are wanting to cut down on your alcohol consumption, or perhaps you're just someone who doesn't drink alcohol, but you want to like enjoy the same sort of cocktails that you know that your friends and family members do. Like, these things are really good. And we'll probably talk a bit more next week, because we've ordered the three sort of spirits that are non-alcoholic in order to make a Negroni non-alcoholic. So we'll let you know next week. But essentially, to do the Boxcar as a non-alcoholic one, you just need to use the non-alcoholic gin, 45 milliliters of the non-alcoholic gin, and instead of the triple sec liqueur, instead of using like a Cointreau or a Grand Marnier, just use a Monin syrup. They do a triple sec syrup, or a blue Curacao syrup. Obviously we'll make it blue, but that is,
makes it quite a nice purple color
though. Yeah, but that is a that's a non-alcoholic orange flavored syrup, and it tastes just the same, just without the alcohol content. Obviously lime juice is non-alcoholic, and so, and grenadine also is non-alcoholic, so you can follow the rest of the recipe as is. And again,
that's just going to be on the Have Hubby Instagram, won't it?
Yeah we'll take a photograph. Obviously the one that we made it with triple sec, and because grenadine is red and triple sec blue curacao is blue, it actually
it
turned
purple,
the drink purple,
yeah,
which was actually really nice.
Yeah.
And in a crossover with David's other website, we named it after a Bond girl who, because it's a virgin cocktail, we made it after a notable
virginal character. There aren't many of them in James Bond. So, yes, it was Solitaire's Boxcar. Because there's a train journey in both the film and the book of Live and Let Die as well.
So, anyway, if you're making these along with us, you've got your train-related cocktails in hand now. And now it's time to talk about our train holidays. We've mentioned it a few times on the podcast. One of the most sort of special trips we've ever taken was on our honeymoon, where we took the Sunset Limited, which is an Amtrak train. It used to go all the way from Orlando to Los Angeles, but due to Katrina and also hurricane storms and all that kind of stuff, the section between New Orleans and Orlando is badly damaged and doesn't look like it's going to get fixed anytime soon. But actually, potentially now, with infrastructure investment being the route out of the pandemic, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who's now Secretary of State for Transport, he wants to try and fix a lot of railways, so maybe it will do. But so you can only go from New Orleans to Los Angeles. And we did that back in 2015 for our honeymoon. After three fantastic days in New Orleans, we jumped on this train and travelled all the way to Los Angeles. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, I love trains. I've loved trains since I was a little kid, as you well know. And I always used to drag my family to heritage steam railways, that sort of thing.
So sexy. I know.
It's definitely what drew you to me.
Although you're very jealous that I had
to you even.
Really, my dad always goes on about that amazing train set I had up the loft.
Like, yeah, I am jealous. I did have a train set, and at the risk of sounding really entitled, my train set was relegated to the garage.
Mine was up the loft, and it was massive.
Oh, right, okay. So you had a better train set. Actually, if you might have noticed, in our garage, we do currently have all the bits of the train set, which I've taken from my parents' house after all these years. So I may be installing it somewhere in the house at some point. But yeah, I was obsessed with trains from a really, really early age. And that sort of went away, like when I got into Star Wars and that sort of thing. It's almost like the trajectory of Toy Story. You know, you go for like old fashioned things like cowboys and whatever. And then it's like space toys. And so space toys sort of took over and James Bond stuff was always there as well. But then it never really went away. I was just kind of repressing the love of trains. So when I think you suggested going on a train journey originally for our honeymoon.
But I think that like you touched upon a really key part of why we did it there with your love of the Western and cowboys.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously, if you go on a train journey from east to west in the USA like we did, and I don't think following the original route of the first transcontinental railroad, but you are kind of following that trajectory. Mm. And we did, you know, we as terminated in LA. So, you know, this, in fact, I think I took on holiday with me the book about the railroad that first crossed the USA. And obviously that was massively historically important. But the great thing I think about taking a train journey across America is that you get to see lots of landscapes that, to be perfectly honest, unless you were on that train, there would be no point going and making you'd make a special journey into the middle of nowhere, wouldn't you, really?
But I know some people won't be listening to this who do sort of guided tour trips, and we've done a few of those, but it's not like one of those in the fact that, like, they stop lots of places along the way and people join the train, but they don't, it's not like, oh, you've got 3 hours here in this town. Like, you're seeing places go by. In fact, the longest place we stopped along the route from New Orleans to Los Angeles was like probably 45 minutes in El Paso.
It wasn't even 45 minutes in El Paso, but that's a story. Should we tell the El Paso story?
Yeah. So we were like, we had a fantastic time on this train, it was fantastic, but you don't, like I said, you don't really get to stop in the places. You get to stretch your legs on the station, but you've got to be straight back on it, because obviously this train runs from New Orleans to Los Angeles and back twice a week. So if you miss it, you are stuffed and you can't get there until like you've got to wait for it to go back and then back again. So you don't get much time to go. That we did find out through reading lots of guidebooks that it was making a long stop in El Paso, probably about 40 minutes, as David said. And El Paso was the birthplace of the margarita. So we wanted to have in our head, we pictured, oh my God, this is like what it's famous for. So like there'll be margarita bars all over the station.
And cashing in on that.
But when we stopped at the station, there was no bars, nothing was open. And we were like, well, we still need to have a margarita in El Paso. So we quickly looked on Google Maps, ran down to the nearest bar, and there was a bar open.
This was quite early in the day, if I remember I think they were just opening
like
around
12,
half 11 lunchtime, I think.
And so we were like, we spoke to the lady, the bartender, and was like, we'd really like 2 margaritas, please.
But we've got a train to catch in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah. So she was like, yeah, no worries. But then she was being, bless her, really, really sort of
painstaking.
Painstakingly, like, crafting these drinks. And we were like, no. If we miss our train, we cannot carry on. So she sped up, bless her, and she gave us these two really quite strong margaritas, which we downed.
And then ran back to the train
just in time, and then carried on with our journey.
But it was a cultural experience, you know. I mean, it was kind of a bit of a Mission Impossible type scenario, which I always enjoy as well.
And we can say that we've drank a margarita.
In the birthplace of the margarita.
Like last time when we had Negronis.
That's something we like to do.
So, obviously, the great thing about this train journey is it's affordable, and there's lots of different classes of travel depending on what you want to do. You can just take a seat and sit upright. I don't think we've mentioned yet that it takes 48 hours. So you leave on I think we left on the Wednesday, and we left on the Wednesday morning, and we got into Los Angeles on the Friday morning.
Actually late, weren't we? Yeah. By about 3 hours, because we got stuck behind a freight train, which is, I suppose, one of the perils of train travel. We actually missed our connecting flight
to San Francisco,
but because the internal flights were so cheap, it didn't really matter.
Yeah. So that's another tip. So if you're doing these kind of things, don't
put the flight too close. Give yourself a few hours. Yeah.
And potentially, don't even book maybe don't even book your flight at all.
Yeah, just turn up at the airport.
Buy one, because it's like a commuter route, so it's like dirt cheap compared to what we think of air travel is.
I'll be honest, when we booked the train, I was a bit anxious because, as you know, I'm very tense in enclosed spaces. And I thought, you know, I mean, there are people who book this and take the really cheap route and sleep in a chair, but that was never going to be an option for me.
And especially because it was our honeymoon, so we wanted it to be a bit special. Yeah. So we booked a roomette.
Now, the et bit is the bit that terrified me in advance. So I watched all the videos on the website about kind of how small it was. But actually, I found it really easy to sleep in. It was cozy, but it wasn't too confining.
And you can, like, in the day, it's like a private compartment, a bit like what you imagine, what you remember looking at, like a, it's a bit more plush and like brush steel, but it's a bit like what Harry and Ron and Hermione like sitting on in the
It's like a small
private little compartment with a door, and then you've got a room attendant, and at any point in the day, although she'd probably question what you're doing in the day, you can ask him or her to make your room into a
bedroom
and the seats sort of pop away, and then the beds come down, there's bunk beds in there, and it was really fun to have like sleep in these little bunk beds, and I slept probably one of the best
yeah
ever,
I did,
because you
were
rocked
really
to sleep by the train,
and it wasn't going especially fast as well. I know we'll come on to another train journey in a moment, but where sleep wasn't quite so good, but the I mean, the other thing that stands out for me about that trip was the quality of the food on board. And you think you're almost going to get like airline style food, which, you know,
it wasn't
is terrible.
On proper plates and all,
but
that
it was served on proper plates. It felt like, and considering it wasn't that expensive,
and you got all your food and drink included, including alcohol, because we used we obviously they didn't do cocktails, but it was
we made cocktails,
but,
what we could buy.
So like we would go and get, they had little miniatures of all the main spirits,
gin and tonic
and
that sort of thing.
And the other great thing about the roommate is obviously, like we said there, the food and drink is included. It's really comfortable rooms. You've got some privacy if you want. But you also had sort of exclusive use in this special sort of sightseeing car, which was one of the most
incredible
things I've ever seen.
Wall-to-wall glass, essentially.
It's wall-to-wall glass, and the seats are facing towards the window, so you can like watch. And it's such an interesting route. I think it's a lot the oldest operating train route in America. And it's such an interesting route because you go from all the green, swampy sort of lushness of New Orleans slowly to the sort of browns and oranges and yellows of the desert and the west, and through Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and then you slowly start to get through back to sort of more urban landscapes as you're going into Los Angeles, and yeah, just totally incredible. And like you just sat there just like looking at the view throughout the entire journey, not getting bored of it,
even when we were going through Texas. So one of the days was actually Texas, so it makes you realize how big Texas was, but the landscape was quite varied as we went. We should put some of these photos on Instagram because there's some really good photos of where we got up just about dawn. I know we sleep really well, but we always get up at dawn anyway. And it was not long after dawn, and we're going through Texas, and the sun is like, the dawn light is shining through this carriage, and you can see all the background. I remember this photo of you sitting there, and you can see all those, all the rock formations and things. It was absolutely spectacular.
Yeah. The other fun thing about, obviously, this train travel, and even I like this, and I'm normally not one, but, like, obviously, people get on and off the train. Everyone seems to have stories. And it's interesting to talk. We did speak through the whole journey with this young couple who were, she was a travel writer, and she was doing it for a sort of a piece. Speaking of that, we've got a write-up of this on the website, so you can go to havehusbandworldtravel.com and read that. But it was just a fantastic journey, and I would definitely do it again. It's made me really want to do another. Another one. I'd also love to go and do that same one, but maybe do it in the other direction this time, going from California to New Orleans. The one sort of thing that I don't think was the one thing that was a bit disappointing was because of the fact that we weren't staying in Los Angeles. Although we did, as we mentioned last week, although we weren't staying in Los Angeles, instead we were going off to San Francisco. the journey ended up being quite stressful at the end because we had to jet off and go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Where if we did it the other way around,
you could just literally step off the train
and then enjoy New Orleans. Yeah. That would be something really special. There are other classes of room, and like David said, you can just have general seats, or you can. There are actually rooms where you get a private bathroom as well. We obviously, in a roommate, had to share a bathroom and a toilet with other people, which is fine. They're very clean and that kind of stuff. But if you do have issues with that kind of stuff, I think it's still worth doing. Just get like wet wipes and stuff and just like keep yourself clean that way until you get off the train.
You're only, I had no problem days. Sharing on
no, me
the
neither.
Train,
yeah. But like take flip-flops so you can wear them in the shower and all that sort of hygiene stuff. But yeah, it's it was a fantastic journey, and I would definitely do it again. And I think with people, with the cost of air travel in America being so cheap, I think that people sometimes don't think of Amtrak, but I had a fantastic time and I'd recommend it to anyone. So with that in mind, we were so excited to do another one of these train journeys in the UK. There's only two sleeper services that are in operation in the UK. One goes from London to Edinburgh and the other one goes from London to Penzance, and we did the London
We live near none of those locations.
Yeah, so and Penzance is a really great sort of coastal city,
we didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, but we wanted to go there. I love being by the seaside, so I like to do little sort of holidays by the seaside in the UK, but in the Midlands we're really far away from the sea. So we did this, and what was the train called?
Oh, gosh, it's just completely gone out of my head as well. But it was operated by Great Western.
It's on our Western page.
That's
as well.
Helpful, isn't it? I'll look it up.
But it's, like I say, it does it overnight. So you get to London Paddington for
a night Riviera.
Night Riviera. So you get to London Paddington at about 9 p.m. Ready for boarding, and you leave London Paddington about 10 p.m. and then you wake up the next morning in Penzance at about 7 o'clock in the morning. So it's all done completely overnight. You get breakfast the next morning in the sort of dining car, but unlike what I found slightly, because the journey, because the distance is not that far, you don't have much time to enjoy the train than in the room. You've got your stuff in the room, like you can have you've got a sink and like that sort of stuff. You've got to share a bathroom, but you don't get much chance to enjoy the train, unfortunately. We did it there and back this time. We did it back from Penzance as well, which you left on a Sunday evening, and you got into Penzance on a Monday morning. Got into London on a Monday morning, again with breakfast and everything included. For me, however, this one was not that comfortable. I don't know if it was something just me being not able to sleep. Maybe I drank too much coffee that day. But the other thing is that because you've got to do it so quickly, that train was like a roller coaster.
Yeah, it was a fast train compared with the other one, I think. Unless it was because the line is obviously, you know, in the USA we could pretty much just go in a straight line. But there were a lot of bends and that, and there were a few moments
like
where
swooping around.
Yeah, there were the other thing I think is, although we really enjoyed our experience, and I'd happily do it again.
Yeah, and we've written this up again. You can read it on Half Husband World Travel. It's one of the most read pieces on the website, actually.
Yes, it is, actually. Yeah. But although I'd happily do it again, it was kind of, it left a bit too late.
Yeah.
It's almost like it should go a bit slower.
And leave
at about 9 o'clock at night, whereas it was actually close to midnight, if I recall
correctly. No, it was more about 11 o'clock.
Was it? Okay.
But I think it's... The other thing why I think it should be a bit more of like a cruisy kind of thing is it's such beautiful countryside and you see none of it.
Yeah,
you're
right. You don't see any of it.
It's not like the I know we were asleep for long portions over the other one because it was for over 2 days, but obviously you're sitting in that car, you're seeing out the window, but you're going down the entire coast of the UK. And you see none of it until you wake up the next morning, really, where you just pull into Penzance, which is pretty, but like you're seeing nothing of the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really interesting. You know, it's great being able to do a sleeper service in the UK, but
I wonder if it's because of the reason why I think they do it overnight like that is obviously a sleeper service, and everywhere in the UK probably just takes a day to get there. But they can't. The UK railway is renowned for not having much capacity,
yeah.
So they can't do sort of like cruisy like slow trains, because it will slow down actual commuter services.
Well, I've just looked up the timings here, and it's only just over 300 miles. And yet the other one that we did, New Orleans to LA, that's nearly 2,000 miles.
Yeah, and in 2 days.
So the LA, that the USA, the Sunset Limited is surely, I haven't done the maths, but surely that's faster than the Night River. But the Night River Riviera, perhaps because the carriages, although it was a dedicated sleeper carriage,
yeah.
You're right, the infrastructure is not built for it,
yeah.
Essentially.
And also, like you said, the Sunset Limited goes pretty much straight.
Yeah.
Where since the other one is waving it around the coast, it does feel like a roller coaster.
Yeah, it did. It did. I thought you were going to fall out of the bed at one point.
Yeah, and there are little straps, I think, to keep you in the bed stop that from actually happening. Yeah. I definitely would do it again, and I would love to try the other one to Edinburgh as well, because we like Edinburgh.
We went for
Hogmanay. So I'd be definitely like to try that one as well. But it was just two different experiences. Before we move on, are there any other sort of train journeys that would be on your list to do?
And there are the biggies. Like, I read a book recently, which was really, really good, which is sort of torture during lockdown because we can't go anywhere. But Manisha Rajesh wrote a book called Around the World in 80 Trains, which I really recommend to anybody who likes train travel, and particularly is looking to do train as part of a holiday. But obviously you've got all the famous ones like the Trans-Siberian, we've seen quite a few holiday programs around those as well. The Orient Express is on the list, although I hear
it.
No, well, the thing is, there have been many different versions of the Orient Express. In fact, Manisha does actually do the Orient Express towards the end of her journey. She really enjoys it.
Oh, really?
And it's comparatively luxurious to every other train that they've been on.
Yeah.
But I know a couple of people who've done it, and they said it was nice, but it was vastly overpriced for what it was. But you know, if Orient Express are listening and they want us to test it out, we'd be more than happy.
Obviously, there's some other great ones in America as well. There's the California Zephyr, there's the Rocky Mountaineer, and
I wonder if the Silver Meteor, just go to back Bond for a second. That's the one they do in Newland. I wonder if that still exists.
That sounds familiar from that book we've got.
That's New York to somewhere in Florida.
Miami.
Can't remember.
Might be. Well, yeah. So anyway, if you've also had any train journeys that you've done that you recommend, let us know. Let us know on our socials. You can find us at Have Hubby on Instagram and on Twitter, and you can search for Have Husband Will Travel on Facebook. But without further ado, we're going to move now into the news. So in that section there, we're going to talk about the news of the week. And I've got two stories I'm going to talk about today. One a bit more frivolous. I want to get your thoughts on what you think about it. And the second one is obviously a bit more serious, and it's to do with COVID and the green list.
You're not going to hijack me again like the earlier episode where you asked me for a balanced discussion of vaccine passports.
Yeah, no, it's not that.
Because we never script these.
No. But the first thing I want to talk about is obviously this week was the big celebration that is May the 4th and Star Wars. And as part of that, Disney actually released some footage. Well, actually, they released it a couple of weeks ago for an investors meeting where they showed somebody with what looked like a working version of a lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
So like they pressed the button and it came out of the... It came out of the hilt, people were like, "Is this something they're going to be selling at the parks? What is this? It looks very expensive." Yeah. It's a patent where it's based on the technology from those snap bands.
Oh, really?
But being able to unravel themselves, so that's what it's based on. But it looks fantastic. And this week for May the 4th, they released a video of a cast member who looked just like Rey from Star Wars using one of these. And then it was shown, it was revealed that these would be part of, they didn't say made available, they didn't say you'd get them, they didn't say you could buy them, but I'm guessing you might be able to, but I think they'd be expensive, as part of the new the Star Wars hotel that is opening. And the hotel in Florida is called Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. And that they finally announced that it'll be opening in 2022 for 2-day experiences. And then later on, they also refreshed the My Disney Experience app map of all of Disney World, and they showed for the first time this property.
Oh, right, how it fits in.
Yeah, and what it looks like. And from outside, I think I've got a picture I can show you. It looks just like it's a building, obviously, but it looks like a bit like a spaceship.
So you're actually in the park, but not in the park.
No, for 2 days, you'll be traveling into. It's like you're traveling to Batu.
Yeah.
And it's 2 days.
That's what I mean. You're sort of in the hotel.
You're in the hotel. And
in
then,
the park.
Yeah. So that's, I'm showing David a picture of it.
Okay.
Now. So that's what it looks like from the outside. But you'll never see that because you'll be inside of it all the way. And apparently, they're even going to pick you up. There's patents that they have where they're even going to pick you up from the hotel in these vans. And when you get in the van, the windows aren't windows, they're screens. So that would be almost like you're on a little shuttle taking you to the Galactic Star Cruiser. And then once you're in there, you're locked in this building for 2 days. Now, I think they're being really brave because everyone's been locked in their house for a year.
Yeah.
And they are wanting people to book a holiday, whether in Disney World,
in a hotel,
whether in Disney World, but you can't go out to Disney World.
Yeah,
you're stuck in that hotel.
So what they're going to amuse you with?
Well, it's supposed to be like themed experiences. So like there'll be a storyline, a bit like an escape room, but like you're there, like you're doing it the entire time. So like you'll all be on this trip, traveling from wherever you were to Batu.
This is going to be expensive, isn't it?
I think so.
It's only going to be a very premium experience.
I think it's a very premium experience. The only thing that I'm thinking, like, will they give you clothes and stuff to wear as well?
Like,
or will people just be that nerdy?
Because it'll break
dress
the
up? Because if you're wearing, if you're wearing something that's like Hollister.
Yeah. They've got to give you clothes.
And then you've got to be, I think you'll be eating in canteens, a bit like
Blue Milk all around.
But I just think, we looked this week, I think last week, the sort of Disney cruises from the UK, the staycation cruises, came available to book. And like a 4-day cruise out of Liverpool was about, that includes all your food and drink, like this would as well.
Is this where you're stuck on the boat and you can't get off?
Yeah, for 4 days.
Okay, okay.
And that was for an inside cabin, which essentially they'd all be inside cabins because there's nothing really to look at. An inside cabin was £1,700 per person.
Jeez, for 4 days.
For 4 days, 5 days. Four
and that
days.
Does that include every or like alcoholic drinks and things?
No, probably like.
Oh
Disney,
my
so just
lord!
So actually, maybe your wines and stuff. I don't
know.
But so if that's for a 4-day cruise and you can go outside, at least you can go outside on a cruise and get some fresh air. You cannot do that in this place.
No.
Like, what do you feel about that?
I would rather die than do that experience.
But you know that we're going to do it next year, clearly.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant.
No. But
the Star Wars one's okay.
But,
yeah.
Like, but you're not.
I thought
getting,
you meant on the boat around the UK.
You're not getting any air. Like you can't go outside.
You need to recycle it. It's like being on a spaceship.
Yeah. I just think it's really.
It is brave.
They haven't shown any pictures of it.
As long as I'm not going to have to sell an organ to do it, I'll give it a go.
I just think it's really interesting that people will spend. I wonder what Disney are going to do that 2 days of their holiday. And for example, when we go to Disney World, we go for 7 days. So for 7 days of our holiday, we're going to spend 2 days of that in a hotel. And yes, granted, it would probably be an amazing themed experience. But you're there in Disney World and you can't do anything else. It makes you wonder, like, when we buy it, we get a 7-day pass thrown in. Like, will they do something to the fact that you're not going to be using the 2 days that pass?
I don't know. They'll have to sell it as a package, won't they?
Yeah. And then what do you do then? Because like you're out of the thing, but you've got to check into another hotel because you can't stop in the Star Wars hotel after you've done the experience. You've got to then check into another Disney hotel.
Oh, well, that breaks the illusion, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just think it's a weird thing that Disney are going to have to... They're amazing and they're masterful at all this kind of stuff, but it's after a year of, oh my God, outside is the safest thing in the world. Yeah, inside is dangerous.
Yeah, that is a hard sell.
Do they have everyone to come in?
Mind you, in Florida, I think all bets are off, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much. They haven't really done a good job of,
no.
Of the pandemic. I just thought that was quite interesting when it was coming out, this thing. The other thing is that, like, I think those lightsabers that they showed will be for cast members because the ones that you can buy that are just the ones where you, like, do the sort of arm gesture to make the stuff come out. Those are $250 in themselves.
Ouch.
So these special ones where you press a button and the hilt comes out, thousands. So I'm guessing they won't be being sold. They're props for the...
And they probably only look good in certain lights and angles and things like that. I noticed that video was kind of like front on.
Yeah. And like, and just think the complication, like that's, she's got like one of those, but what if someone's like got the Darth Maul one? Like, like just how expensive it gets. Like, so that's
don't be crazy. Greedy. Just have one blade.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the Star Wars thing. I'm quite looking for it. Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser launching in 2022. I just think it's a watch this space for how they start to market that, because I just think it's, everyone's been going so sort of stir crazy being locked in, and people are going to be paid to be locked in a hotel for 2 days, which is weird, because we just said that we were locked on a train for 2 days, and that was the same thing really.
Same kind of thing. Nice and been a neat symmetry there.
Yeah,
so it's almost like we planned it.
And then the other thing, the other bit of news that I want to talk about, and we'll talk about it a little bit now, and then this is going to segue straight into our Mr. and Mr. segment.
Oh, okay.
But obviously, on Friday afternoon, the government announced the green list countries where you will be able to travel to from the 17th of May with limited COVID-19
precautions,
that kind of stuff. I just want to go through some stuff first because we talked about it before. So there's the traffic light travel system. There's red, amber, and green countries. So if you're traveling to a country that's on the red list, when you come back, you'll have to stay in a hotel quarantine at your own expense.
Is that what it costs you, £1,700?
Yeah, hotel quarantine for 10 days. If you stop in a country that's amber, and right now countries that are amber are like Canada, America, that kind of stuff, you have to self-isolate for 10 days in your own home.
Okay.
And then you can do a test to release on day 5. And then you'll have to do PCR tests on day 2 and also PCR tests on day 8 just to make sure that you don't. And that's PCR tests, they're not lateral flow, so the ones that have to go to the lab to be analysed.
Oh, right. So they give you those kits, do they? And then, okay.
So those are the amber countries. But the green countries, which we were told they're going to be green countries, and that got announced on Friday. The green country, you don't have to hotel quarantine. You don't have to self-isolate when you get back. You don't have to do a test to release because you're good to go.
Nothing then.
You just have to do a PCR test when you're traveling, the day before you travel, and make sure that you're traveling without.
How do you do a PCR test on the day?
I think you will. I think you'll do it like whoever you book with, wherever you're doing, you'll have to.
They will do it.
Or you will have. You'll have emails about how you do it with your airline. So you do your PCR test, and then you also have to do it on your return to the UK as well. And obviously, if you do have COVID-19, you will have to isolate and all that kind of stuff. But then they announced what the countries were, which were the green list. And it's quite interesting that they decided to release this list the day after the local elections, because I think people got quite excited that they'll be able to go everywhere around Europe, ready for the summer holidays. Greece, Cyprus, all these places where it really want.
Let me guess, none of those are on the list. Oh dear.
There's about 12 places that are on the list of places you can go, and I will read through that for you now. So the green list countries from 17th of May in England, and this is the other thing to note as well, this is just England. There is no agreement yet with the other home nations.
Okay.
So those people in Scotland, like, don't know what they can do yet, but if they lived in England, they could do it. So the green list countries that you'll be able to travel to, subject to testing, but without the need to quarantine on your return, are Singapore, Gibraltar.
Ooh, we could go to Gibraltar.
Israel.
Okay.
Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
South Georgia and the Sandwich Isles, which
are they?
By Antarctica.
What?
St. Helena, Tristan, Dekahuna, and Ascension Island.
Where's that?
I think, again, those are like in the South Atlantic.
Okay.
Brunei.
No, we're clearly not going there.
Iceland.
Okay, yeah.
The Faroe Islands.
I've heard of those.
The Falkland Islands.
Okay.
Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, wow. Is that it? That's the whole list?
That's it.
Oh, my gosh.
The list will be reviewed every 3 weeks with more countries added to it or taking away.
Oh, wow.
And obviously you can look at the current amber and red lists on the government website. So you might have just heard at the end of that little bit there, the doorbell go, and it was our delivery of non-alcoholic ingredients to make a non-alcoholic Negroni, which we've just done. It doesn't taste, it's very similar to a Negroni, but obviously Negroni is our favorite cocktail, so it doesn't take away our sort of,
there's no way you can mix up the two.
It's not like you're gonna go, yeah, you couldn't do the Pepsi Max taste challenge and think you were drinking a Negroni. Or similarly, you're not going to drink this and go like, oh, I'll never have a Negroni again in my life. You wouldn't do that at all. But however, it is actually really, really nice. And just to give you an idea of what we've used, let me just get the ingredients so we can talk about them. Essentially, any non-alcoholic gin, and this we're using Lyre's, L-Y-R-E, apostrophe S, dry London spirit, and this was recommended from a post that I read on Good Housekeeping, so that we're using that as the gin substitute, one measure of that. We're also then using Lyre's, again, Italian orange non-alcoholic bitter drink, though it does taste quite sweet, and that is the Campari, non-alcoholic Campari supplement. And then, which I think is the most impressive and the most like its proper alcoholic equivalent, we're using this red vermouth supplement.
That's by far the best.
It's called Versin, V-E-R-S-I-N. All of these are available on Amazon. And this essentially is the replacement for the red vermouth. Again, equal measures of all of those items, and you get your non-alcoholic Negroni. Serve over ice with a orange peel and with some olives, which is what David's munching on there.
Yeah.
I think it's quite nice.
It is quite nice.
The one thing I think about the non-alcoholic substitutes for me is that they are, they don't have, and I know we ours feel that way because we put them in the freezer, but they don't have the
bite.
No, the thickness in the
viscosity. Not, yeah.
Viscosity of
Which obviously you can't put this in the freezer. Bad idea.
Which is the one thing that I miss from it. But yeah, like I say, it's a really nice substitute, and it's great for people who want to have a Negroni but they don't drink alcohol. They get to know a little bit what it would taste like.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That sounded really convinced, didn't it? No, it is a really, really nice drink in its own sense. But as we said earlier, normal business with cocktail hour will be resumed next weekend.
But we were just finishing about a discussion then about the
countries, the aging countries. Holiday, yeah.
Which I think is interesting. And I just think it's a shame if people were planning on trips thinking they could go to Spain or right now a holiday that we've got booked for October we wouldn't be able to do because the countries are not on the green list yet. But like I say, it's every three weeks this will be added to. But for Mr. and Mister, which is our sort of travel quiz test of our relationship each week, I thought we'd do something theme to this. So David, I haven't spoke to David about it as per usual, But I'm thinking that if we suddenly had a windfall and we could just go anywhere on these green countries, which three of
anywhere
these...
on those green countries?
Yeah, anywhere three.
Can you
show
me the list again, just in case? Yeah. Okay, I've got them. Yeah.
Three those list of countries. I'm asking you to guess the three countries where I would go a holiday.
To. I think one would be Singapore.
Yes.
Even though it's illegal to be gay.
Yeah, because I know that, and that really makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
Because I would never go to Dubai, and obviously I'd never go to Abu Dhabi or anywhere like that.
No, or Brunei's on the list as well.
Moscow,
death penalty,
or anything like that. But for me, it's one of those like futuristic utopia Asian cities that I just want to really go
to. And also, if money was no object, and this is again going to sound really horrible and hypocritical, but you know.
You can be really safe in a suite, in a hotel, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but that's the thing, though.
We would have to. The thing is, I wouldn't want to go there because I would feel that I had to modify my behaviour.
Yeah, but that's a reality.
And not be myself.
But sometimes we have to do that anyway.
We do, but at least we got the backing of the law in the countries we've been to.
Yeah. For me, that's I think that's a reality of travel that I think is really important to talk about on this podcast, about the fact that LGBTQ couples don't have. Have to modify either the behaviours or or perhaps if they go to countries and they're just going in the resort and they don't go out.
Something I hadn't quite clocked until yesterday. I realised that it was a thing, but not the extent of the 70 countries where it's illegal for us to be us. Actually, more than half of them are actually British Commonwealth countries. Mm. So, you know, Britain exported the anti-homosexuality laws. It's just that they've not got round to repealing them. And a lot of I know Brunei have recently instated it, but things like Singapore,
Singapore is definitely like we saw it most recently when we watched the Race Around the World kind of thing. And I just think it looks incredible. That really famous hotel where they joined on the roof.
Yeah.
I just think it looks a really great place to visit. But clearly I'd be going on my own. Okay. So that was on my list. That was one of my first.
I think Israel might be one.
Yeah. Israel, was definitely on my list again. Tel Aviv, or even Jerusalem as well. Just interesting, very gay friendly, very interesting place to go.
Yeah.
Again, probably not the hugely safe place.
It depends. It fluctuates quite a lot over time. Mm. Yeah.
A bit like back in the day where the same sort of stuff used to happen with Morocco. There used to be quite a lot of like terrorism.
Instability,
in Morocco,
yeah.
And I've always felt like when's the best time to go, because you get worried about being. Sort of, I always think of those cruise videos like avoid large crowds.
Oh, yeah. Like, public demonstrations. Yeah, exactly.
That kind of stuff.
I've seen a lot of gay friendly films written, made in Israel. You're right, it is quite a gay mecca.
Yeah,
so,
Tel Aviv, particularly as well. So, yeah, that's definitely on my list. We have, we'll have to do a photograph of it. We have a magnetic map of the world in our study.
I think you did put it on Instagram at some point. Yeah, it's on the website as well.
There is also a piece on the website about it, about planning our... I think we did a feature at the very start of 2018 where we were planning where we wanted to go. And you can
good job we didn't do that for 2021.
I know, but you can see the different places where we want to go. And I think Israel, we've got colour-coded pins. And I think Israel has a pin in, because that's somewhere that we want to go. So
I'm a bit stumped on the third one.
Well, there is
Faroe Islands tonight, are they? I don't know much about them.
No, that's not on there. I don't know where they are. There is a third and a fourth.
Iceland
is the third.
Okay.
Because again, I'd love to go to Iceland. Of all the places on that list, I think right now, I think that's the one where I think a lot of British people, potentially, other than perhaps Portugal.
I know a lot of people who've gone to Iceland and everyone has loved it.
Yeah, and I think for the sort of holidays that we like, that felt like if we hadn't something booked this year, that would be like a long weekend break in Iceland would be perfect. So Iceland is definitely on there. Like the sort of hot springs, walking around, seeing Reykjavik, like going around the whole island. It's probably not that... take that long to get around it, renting a car, visiting places. Definitely would definitely want to do that. The other one that's on that list is Portugal, but not for the reason you think, because Portugal also includes Madeira, which I don't know
where. Make lots of nice wine.
But also the Azores. It is one of the places you can go to because it's
only technically Portugal. Yeah. Really?
But the only reason I want to go to the Azores is because of Indiana Jones and the
Fate of Atlantis video game.
But I've always thought the Azores sound fantastic.
Yeah.
So one of the places you can go.
I didn't know that.
So that's, I think, let me just check my Google Maps. They're like in the sort of
Atlantic.
Middle of the Atlantic.
Yeah, they are, yeah. In fact, when we went on the Queen Mary 2, I'm sure there was an itinerary that took you. We didn't do this one, but there was an itinerary that took you to the Azores.
Yeah, really?
I think there was.
Yeah, so the Azores, it actually counts as a Portuguese country.
Oh, wow.
And there's a couple of islands. And, yeah, they're just to the...
Oh, actually, they're not as far away as I thought.
Yeah, they're sort of mid... almost like in the middle of the...
A bit nearer to Europe than the USA, though.
But... Yeah, so it's a Portuguese island in the middle of the Atlantic. And that's one of the countries you're allowed to go to under current regulations without having to quarantine.
Well, if our trip later in the year is cancelled, we might go to the Azores.
Probably not the best time to go in October.
Oh, is it cold?
Well, I would imagine so.
Why? It's near the equator.
So maybe the Azores. Year round, yeah. So if you've been to any of these places, Iceland.
You don't like warm anyway.
Yeah.
You get heat
rash.
I still like
to be feel warm, and I want to wear winter clothes. If you guys have been to any of these places, Singapore, the Azores, Iceland, any of these other places, if you're telling us, like, you know what, guys, you'll feel safe if you go to
Singapore. Trying to persuade
Brunei.
Me.
You'll have a fabulous time in Brunei. Like, they've got the best bars.
The best gay bars. Yeah. Oh, yeah. As if.
So let us know any of these places that you've been. And some of these places, though, like, they're so far away, like Australia, New Zealand. And then you haven't got to quarantine on your way back. But, like, Australia, New Zealand, like, the Sandwich Islands.
Wherever they are.
And the Falkland Islands. It takes more than a day to get there. And it just seems a bit far. The one thing I wanted to talk about this in the news section as well, which I think is really important to say, is... I think it would do a really good job if people do travel, because obviously you're helping the industry, you're helping like the airlines get back on their feet and the people who work for them. And obviously all these places have tourism regimes. But the great thing that's going to be happening from this, from people who come back, is when you come back, everyone's going to take a PCR test. So because the UK has quite good testing now and quite good genome testing, where they will look at what variants of concern are there. Some of these countries don't, but the data that we get from people visiting those countries will be used to help them as well.
Oh, really?
So if we came back from the Faroe Islands and one of us, like, God forbid, had COVID, we won't know that actually it's a Brazilian variant that one of us had got. But Faroe Islands wouldn't be able to do that potentially because they wouldn't have that level of testing in the place. But we would get that results from our testing, and that would be then shared with the Faroe Islands health team to say that someone here came back and got this variant. You should do surge testing for it.
Right,
so I think that's quite good. I know I'm saying it in a really simplistic term, but I think any data that we can share throughout with other nations.
But there's any data about people from Britain who've gone there.
But it tells them what's like potentially in their country, like what type of virus is circulating in their country that could help them manage their virus themselves. So I just think that's interesting, and I'm quite looking forward to getting back to travel, but I'm quite dubious as to that it's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I'm glad that we've got a money back guarantee on our planned trip for October, just in case.
Yeah, because like I said, two of the places we're supposed to be going to are not.
We've already had the itinerary changed.
Yeah, we had the itinerary changed already, but we can't go to Guernsey.
Yeah,
not because there's a French blockade.
No, it's nothing to do with the fishing rights.
But we can't go to Guernsey, and obviously one of the places we're going is France, and one of the places we're going is Spain. And both of those currently are on the amber list, which means we'd have to do the 5-day quarantine, which for us, we can't do because of work.
Of course.
So that's that. So anyway, that was you did quite good at guessing those.
I know. Yeah. Although I did, it was like there wasn't that much choice, to be honest.
It does make me think that, like, although there's a lot of press at the weekend, the early start of the weekend, about it being a bit of a naff list, it does make you think that actually, do you know what? There are some good choices there of places to go. Portugal, yeah. Like, I went when I was young and I didn't have a fantastic time, but there's like lots of places you can go.
Oh, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm very cautious and I wouldn't want to throw caution to the wind. If it's not safe to go to those countries, then people should be going.
Yeah, exactly. But like, if people do want to go, there's some looking like some fun places. Like, I'd always like to go to Gibraltar. It's like,
yeah, I really want to go to Gibraltar. Like,
not just because of James Bond.
Yeah, mostly because of James
Bond.
But
also because they've got Marks and Spencers and post boxes.
Mostly because of the pre-title sequence to The Living Daylights.
Cake from there.
And we can have a caterpillar cake and we can sit there and eat it with those monkeys that jump all over Timothy Dalton.
Yeah. So I think it's quite good. In hindsight, I don't want to be like the spokesperson for the government.
That's
your job. Oi. But that's, I think there's quite a lot of choice actually.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you want to go far afield to like Australia, New Zealand, which so many people do every year,
you
can do that. I'm just interested to see when places like Cyprus, like Greece, France, Spain will be added to the list, because that's the places where a lot of Brits, Turkey, for example. So many Brits every year go to Turkey on holiday, and that's not on the list.
Mm.
So I'm just thinking that when will people have the choice to go to a bit more sort of traditional places on holiday?
Yeah.
So that's your lot for this week. We'll be back next week with alcohol, which we're very excited about. And you can join us in the meantime over at our social network accounts, which is Have Hubby on Instagram and Have Hubby on Twitter. And if you just search Facebook for Have Husband Will Travel, you'll find us there. We haven't planned it this way, but a lot of the things we've spoken about today, such as sort of our travel maps and places we really want to go to, and also train journeys, both the Sunset Limited and the Night Riviera, are on our website, so you can read our thoughts about those at more in-depth written pieces. And our website, once again, is www.havehusbandworldtravel.com. And next week, we've talked today a little bit about like sort of the train journeys that sometimes feel a bit epic because of the landscapes, but you can get away. And I think perhaps with regulations changing again in the UK, more and more people will probably be wanting to get away for a quick weekend away, because that's probably what they feel most comfortable with. So next week we'll be talking about city breaks and sharing about a few city breaks that we've done that were really, really good. And in particular, we're going to be talking about Barcelona. And we're going to be talking about Berlin.
Lovely.
Which were two that we've done that we really enjoyed. And we will have a
alcohol-themed drink.
Alcohol-themed Mr. quiz as well, because we'll be back on the booze by then.
Okie doke.
So look forward to that. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.